Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast. Today, my special guest is Angela Fletterman Miller, director of the School of Theater and Dance at Millikan University. Thanks so much, Angie, for joining us.
Hi, good to be here. Thank you for having me.
So we always like to get to know the person before the program, of course. So I want to start with having you tell us a little bit about yourself and your training and career that led you up to your time at Millikan.
Sure. So I am primarily a dancer and choreographer, although I oversee the School of Theater and Dance. So it encompasses the whole shebang. My BFA is in dance from Webster University, and my MFA is in dance performance and choreography, and teaching from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. So that's the lens. However, I've been very active in theater and have done a lot in the musical theater world, as well as in various concert dance sort of roles and things like that. So, and I happen to be married to one of our faculty, Alex Miller. He's an actor, so I've been around all the shows.
Wonderful. So, as I mentioned, it's the director of the School of Theater and Dance. So, could you just sort of tell us which degrees you actually oversee as director?
Sure, we have our BFA programs in musical theater and acting, both very strong programs. We've also got our BA in theater and performance studies, which is also its own very strong program, different but very strong. Our BFA programs in stage management and also BFA in design production with various emphases are other great, growing, wonderful programs that I get to oversee. And we have a dance minor. We have a dance minor and a theater minor.
Okay. So we will get to those minors in just a bit. But first, I'm going to, as I do with all of my guests, put you on the spot a little bit and ask you to give us your elevator pitch, your elevator speech, 60 seconds or less. Tell us about the performing arts program at the School of Theater and Dance at Millikan.
We are a small program on us. We are a large program. Let me go back. We are a large program on a small campus. So, but by large, I don't mean we're not like a state university large, right? A third of the students of the Millikan campus are in the College of Fine Arts. So here on our campus, the cool kids are the artists, which you don't often see. We're really at the center, we're at the heart of the whole thing. And right now, we just opened, of course, the fall of 2020, brought us all lots of fun things, but also brought us opening our $29 million facility in the School of Theater and Dance. It is a brand new facility, and we are super excited to finally be bringing students on campus to see it, prospective students, to see the awesome new things that we can do. So we are very much at the center of life on campus in ways that sometimes maybe athletics would take that center, right, on a right. college campus. But
of course,
yeah.
Wow, that's cool and unique to be the cool kids on campus for the theater
we
kids.
Are. yeah. I mean, yeah, you're in all the marketing pictures.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. So you mentioned that you are primarily a dancer. Do you also teach in the School of Dance? When do the MT kids and the actors get to see you?
So one thing that I super duper love about our program is that we are a School of Theater and Dance together. I really believe in that approach, that it's all of these things need one another in order to thrive and grow. I think sometimes when you have a School of Theater and a School of Dance, or a Department of Theater and a Department of Dance, they're kind of at odds with one another. We work very collaboratively. I get the musical theater students right away, and I don't really know, people are like, do you teach dance major level classes? We're looking into developing a dance major as well, especially with our new facility, so hopefully in another year we'll have that. But I see those musical theater students right away, and I don't really know how to teach a class that isn't at a dance major level.
Well said.
But I think that it depends on your entry point, right? Like, I teach a lot of the advanced classes, but the beginning classes are rigorous as well. So there isn't sort of competition to get into those.
Right. So for the sake of this podcast, because I think that most of our students listening here are going to be interested in the BFA acting and the BFA musical theater degrees, let's start with BFA MTs and sort of walk us through what the freshman year looks like for them.
So a lot of it, across the board, we try to establish a common playing field, a common sort of language that we'll use. So like Acting One, everybody will be together in Acting One no matter what their degree program is, which is a little bit different than most programs, but it is so that when we're talking to designers, we know that those designers understand what we're saying and directors understand what we're saying. So we find a common language there. You'll have a few academics, things like that, that are required across campus. But in musical theater, you'll have a voice lesson. You will have dance classes. Typically, they'll start with ballet and then add the other styles on top of that later. And then starting next year, we'll have you starting with music theory and ear training right away as well. Currently, the students do that in their sophomore year, but next year we're making a shift there so that they get a chance to get their chops working on that important foundational material earlier. Musical theater and acting together.
Oh, that's great. So acting. This question is always asked of me when we're looking at programs. Are students able to level up in dance, or is everyone put in sort of the same first year acting or first year dance class?
Yes. Based on your audition, we will have an idea of where we will place you, but then there's an additional placement class once you get here on campus. So if you audition for us, say in November, but we don't see you until the following August, that would be a long time, and maybe you got better or worse.
Hopefully you got better.
Hopefully you practiced and got better. Or maybe you had an injury and you need to start back a level or something. So we reassess that when we see them. But yes, they can absolutely level up. I have a lot of students who just repeat the same levels. It's not the same material when you repeat levels.
And for the BFA acting students, what does their year look like, freshman year, that's different from the MTs?
Their year typically they don't have the voice lesson. They don't have to take their dance classes. So they have a bit more freedom. They can start exploring maybe some other areas. They're a little more likely to be able to work in interest in like a minor or something like that. And they might have more time to get involved with Pipe Dream Studio Theater, which is our student-run theater that we have on campus as well.
Mm-hmm. Great. Let's chat then through, give us sort of an overview of the remaining time there. Walk us through sophomore through senior year.
What is
available to them?
Every semester in the musical theater program, every semester you will have voice lesson, period. Every semester you will have access to dance classes. Some choose to take those dance classes every semester and some don't. We have a space where you can sort of choose emphases, right? It's not necessarily a track, but if you want to emphasize more on your dance training, you can lean that direction. If you want to emphasize more in your acting, you can lean more that direction. They will take, I think, some pretty rigorous acting classes, and in the second semester of the sophomore year, they take what is called Intro to Musical Theater Studies. That is a course that previously we offered a little bit later, and we realized that our students need it sooner so that they can get more time to practice with it. And it's some acting the song. That's where we really start putting acting, movement, and singing together all at once. The actors in the BFA acting program will eventually get a little more specialized work in Shakespeare, in acting for the camera, and in they take some courses that are specifically for them in terms of acting.
Great. Let's chat through some of the performance opportunities that are available to students. I'll start with a question. Are all students on campus able to audition for all shows?
They are. Regardless of their major, all students on campus can audition for all shows. Most of the time, our SOTAD students, School of Theater and Dance, is our acronym, SOTAD. We typically, they're the ones who are successful in the auditions, right? Or because they have the training, right? Or if a student has chosen a different major and they started as a theater major and maybe they chose a different major eventually and they see, oh, I'm totally right for this role, and they'll come back and audition for something, they might find themselves in that show. But we do often do some collaborative work with the School of Music as well. When we did Phantom in the Opera, several cast members were also from the School of Music. So we do try to do some cross-disciplinary work.
And so talk a little bit more about the student-led productions that you mentioned.
Sure. Pipe Dream Studio Theater, they have a New Works Festival. They have, this year they're doing Dog Sees God, or this semester they're doing Dog Sees God and Fun Home, which are the standard shows they're doing. Then we have Justifiable Truth, which is a new work written by one of our acting majors. So that's exciting that they get a chance to do that work there. Pipe Dream Studio Theater is a student-run venture. It is completely run by students. They choose their season. They have their own artistic director, their own managing director, their own... They manage their space. They have to figure out how to pay their bills. They sell their tickets. So it's a really cool, and they have a board that they answer to. It's a really cool performance learning opportunity for them.
Great.
So they really learn how to make a theater company run.
Can we break that down then into how many plays and how many musicals on average a year students are able to participate in?
Sure. So Pipe Dreams typically does 2 to 3 in their season on per semester. But our main stage season is typically 6 shows. One of them every other year is an opera, and one of them is a dance concert. We'll do 2 musicals and 2 or 3 plays. So there's that. Then there's also the studio series, which we have some less produced, not in a sort of grand main stage sort of way, but we might have, for instance, this year we're doing A Doll's House 2. A faculty member wanted to direct that, and that's our sort of off-ramp series thing that's going on, which we're excited about.
Great. Awesome. Talk to me about senior performance opportunities, namely a showcase. Do you do a senior showcase? And what does that look like for MC and acting?
Yeah, we do a senior showcase. And honestly, it has really changed a lot over the years. Right now, it's a professional development experience for the students. This year, we're moving it all online once again, just so that we don't have to go back and forth between being online and in person. And but we set up our students with directors, casting directors and directors and agents in the city that they are interested in going to, whether it be Chicago or New York. We would like to eventually have one in LA. That's not happening just yet. We do have a lot of alumni connections for folks in LA. But we hook them up with these folks, and they have a real professional audition experience with them. It's not like sort of putting together a song and dance show and everybody is shown at the same time, but you get that one-on-one experience with these folks and you get some real feedback from them, which is a really cool thing.
Yeah.
It looks essentially the same for BFA Musical Theater and BFA Actors in terms of just the actors will do their monologues. They might have a book and they might sing from it if asked, but it's the same sort of format for both.
Great. Great. You mentioned briefly a couple of minor opportunities that you have within SOTAD. Can you talk a little bit more about those minors and then also the opportunity to minor outside of the School of Theater and Dance?
Yeah, the dance minor is easy for a musical theater major to accomplish. It almost encompasses almost all the things they're required to take anyway, which a lot of our musical theater majors do. The other minors on our campus are a little more difficult for the musical theater majors to be able to complete. I've seen it happen before, but it's pretty rare. The acting students have more flexibility with their courses and will more likely be able to minor in other subject areas. We see more success there for those folks. And the BA in theater is where obviously you have the most. You could even double major with that BA in theater degree.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great. So let's chat about notable faculty or alum that you might want to share with us.
Sure. We have a lot of notable alum. I was like taking notes on these earlier. Jodi Benson is one of our most well-known. She was the original Little Mermaid,
I ran into her a couple weeks ago at the Georgia Thespian Festival. She's usually there every year. Her daughter.
That makes sense. Yeah, because she's in Marietta, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's lovely and generous with her time. She did a workshop for our students over Zoom just last year when everybody was still in lockdown and doing things online. So Jodi Benson and Sierra Bogus, her two mermaids, although they're known for things other than being mermaids as well, certainly. Drew Nellison, Scott Rollison. Scott Rollison was the production stage manager on the Broadway revival of She Loves Me. So we've got people on stage and off stage working in theater all over the place. Those are just a few notable alumni. We have many, many working in various productions all over the place. Our faculty, we have folks who have done regional theater. We have folks who have done some Broadway work. Sean Morrissey did a lot of work with Susan Stroman. I don't know if that dates us at all, but
That's not that long ago.
I hope not. I know, right? No. He'll probably want to strangle me for that, but no.
I doubt he listens to my podcast. We're okay.
Right, okay. But regardless, we also have a new musicals program where we bring in professionals who are writing on Broadway currently, or Broadway, or just in the industry currently. We've had Kumin and Diamond come in and work with our students. We've had Adam Guan come in. We did the premiere of String, actually. We weren't allowed to call it the premiere, but we did premiere it here before it was in San Francisco. So it's a pretty cool, we bring the people in as much as possible. We had Tyson and Miller here as well. So we bring in some pretty cool writing teams. We had Matthew Webster here recently as well.
Yeah, it sounds like you do quite a bit to get your students in front of sort of decision makers and power players, which is awesome. Talk to us a little bit about the ways that your program is preparing these students to get their first job.
I think we prepare them by talking about professionalism all of the time, talking about and living it, trying to walk the walk with our students in that way, alongside them. And we keep one another accountable. They hold us accountable as much as we hold them accountable. And making sure that you always want to be that person in the room, the person that you want to have in the room. Nine times out of ten, we tell our students, you're more likely to get hired because of the type of person you are over talent every time. I mean, the talent's great and keep working on your craft. Yes, you need to have the skills to get in the room. But if you get hired back, that's a true mark of success. If someone wants to hire you again, if you work at a whole lot of places just once, that says something. And so we try to impress that upon our students.
Yeah. Do you have any sort of classes in the curriculum that's like a business of the business, or just teaching them how to do your taxes and be an actor?
Yeah. We do some of that in the showcase class as part of the preparation. as part of professional preparation. Yeah. And then we have a seminar class sometimes that we offer called the Working Actor. We haven't been able to do that in a while, but some of that course material Sean Morrissey puts into the showcase class.
Great. So Milliken is in Decatur, Illinois, which is not all that far outside of Chicago. Am I right? Am I doing that right? I think I've been
Correct.
To Decatur. Okay, I couldn't remember which airport I flew into, but I have been there. So it's not big city. It's sort of suburban area. Is that correct? Where Milliken is?
Yes.
Talk to us about that area and sort of what there is to do. And I always say kids at some point will want to leave campus in 4 years and do things in the area. So what is there to do?
So Decatur, Illinois, I like to say that if the state of Illinois had a belly button, we would be it. That's exactly where we are. And we're 2 to 3 hour drive from Chicago, St. Louis, Indianapolis. So that kind of, you're equidistant and there are lots of things to go and do that far away. We also have Champaign, Illinois, 1 hour away, Bloomington, Illinois, 1 hour away. So there are some things a little bit closer as well, but in terms of those big cities, that's kind of where you're looking to go for that kind of stuff. Sierra Bogus often says, and when she talks to our students, that she chose Milliken because it was in the middle of nowhere. Because then she knew she wouldn't like get too worked up and doing all the other things. Sometimes I think students get into a city and they get into that city life, and that might be good for them. They might need that. But here, school is what you'll be doing, and you'll be working hard at it. And yeah, you will leave campus. We have a Target. We have Starbucks. We have the things that you need, right? But it's not such a booming metropolis that you're going to get distracted by all the extra flashy things.
And sometimes parents get a little nervous when they hear the college is in the middle of nowhere. So tell us, where is the nearest airport? How far away is that? Parents freak out about that and always tell me that.
But. Yeah. I say the middle of nowhere. It's not. It's just not New York City, right? I've lived all over the place.
Right.
It's a small college town. We have an airport right here in Decatur. It's owned by our Parks District. And then the other airports, I would say, are about an hour away, each of them. So it's not nowhere. It's a town of about, I think, 80,000 people. So it's significant, but not a city like you would find in Chicago or New York or something like that. So
certainly dwarfs the town I grew up in, I can tell you that. It's definitely not. It's definitely not the middle of nowhere. Great. Let's switch gears now and chat about the audition process for Milliken. Let's ask first for both BFA acting. Is it BFA acting or BFA theater? I forget which one it is.
Acting.
For both BFA acting and BFA musical theater, do you pre-screen?
Yes, we do. We go through Get Accepted. And we use the Common App. The first thing you need to do is apply to Milliken. You won't get your code to get things moving through Get Accepted until you apply and are accepted to Milliken as a student. So that's the first step.
Approximately.
And it's currently free to apply.
Which is amazing.
It's free to apply to Milliken. It's not free then to submit your pre-screen to Get Accepted, but
all you had to go and
it's
ruin
a minimal
it.
Charge. Yeah, I know. Sorry, I want to let people know. Like, full disclosure, I want to be real. But I will say that we don't have an application, so it doesn't hurt to apply.
Do you know what the fee is on Get Accepted for you?
I think it's like $30 bucks. It's not much.
Well, for those of you listening, that's how much Accepted charges the school for you to do that. I know because we use Accepted for our summer program. So they're not making money off you.
It's
only $30. Approximately how many pre-screens do you receive each year for both the acting and the musical theater?
Gosh, it really varies. Our highest year, I think a couple of years ago, was like we saw 700 total on the pre-screens. We're not seeing as many now. I think a lot of students with the pandemic are, you know, maybe taking a gap year, thinking about doing something else. So, but it varies. That's the high range. I would say the lower range is somewhere around 300.
Oh, okay. Not sure if this makes you feel better or worse, but there's some schools that see a lot more pre-screens than that. And you were like, oh, 700. So that's actually encouraging. I'm sure. To the students, because I think that the misconception is once you get into basically any school you've heard of, that you're in this pool of 3,000 kids, and that's just not the case. And I think Millikan, I recommend Millikan a lot. You're seeing a ton of my kids this year, so you're not being put in that pool of 1,700 applicants that have submitted pre-screens. You've got 700 here. So out of the 700, and you said 700, is that total acting and musical theater, or how is that broken?
That's out? That's total. I think both together. I will say that a lot of students will say that their interest is in musical theater. Maybe we accept them in acting because that's where we find their strengths to be.
I was just going to ask if you redirected. That's awesome. That's great. I think it's really great.
We do at the entry point. We don't once you've come here. That was a thing that we had done previously through a sort of like a cuts process in a way. There are some programs that are juried programs and some that are cut programs. We are juried. We keep looking at them and making sure that they're progressing, but we do not change their degree program. As long as they're matriculating through in a timely manner, they have to pass their classes. They have to get their minimum grades in their classes.
So. Luckily, I think that those cut programs are becoming a thing of the past. I don't know very many that still do, and that's great. But basically, during the when you say it, will you redirect them from the pre-screen, or will you redirect them from the audition, or it can be at either? From the pre-screen,
it can be at either. Okay. Yeah, I mean, really, I think what we're looking for is the right fit for the student and for us. So if we think that they're going to be more successful in a different program, we're going to suggest that along the way.
And then how many do you aim for an incoming class for both acting and MT?
So musical theater, we'd like to see 25. Acting, we'd like to see somewhere between 6, like I think 16 is a nice number for actors. Mm-hmm.
I think we skipped one part of this question too. So from the 700 pre-screens, no, it's my fault. I skipped over it because I thought we asked it. Out of the 700 pre-screens, approximately how many do you invite for live auditions?
Oh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
I haven't been. Oh, sorry. What a weird thing to say. That's a good question. I hate when people say that. I have not really looked at that metric.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't have a good answer for you on that one. I'm sorry.
That's fine. And maybe that's not a parameter that you set. It's just whoever deserves to go through goes through.
We don't have a set number. It's really, I know a lot of schools have like, we can bring in this many or we can bring in this many. We open it up to as many as we feel like can be successful. Okay.
And when and where do you audition? Do you hold your auditions?
So, in a normal year, we have an audition on campus. We'll have an audition on campus in November. We'll have several auditions on campus. We'll have one in January, February. Sometimes there are two in February, March. And sometimes there's a super secret April date. But typically there is not. We also see folks in Chicago. We don't go to the unified auditions, but we do go that weekend. And we have our own that is in a separate location. And we see students there in Chicago. We go to the International Thespian Festival and see students there. We see students at some of the other state thespian festivals as well. So we try to get around and see students in as many places as possible.
So the question about that, I'm glad you brought up the International Thespian Festival because that happens in June. Students do audition for you, but June is a funny time. You're not going to be accepting an incoming freshman. in June, and it's quite early to be looking at the rising seniors. So what is the outcome of those auditions in June?
Typically, we're looking at juniors, well, people who have just, who are going into their senior year.
Correct.
And can you repeat the question?
Sure. So if those students... as a rising senior...
Wrap my mind around it.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. As a rising senior, when you see those juniors, those junior rising seniors at the International Thespian Festival in June, are you giving them a pre-screen pass? Are you, you're not making offers for admissions?
Yes. Yes. Thank you for repeating that. I'm sorry. It took me a minute. And again, this is my first year in this particular position, so I'm still learning. Yeah. As we go, that is definitely a pre-screen pass that we give those folks at that point.
Awesome. Great. So tell me, since you're sort of new you are sort of new in this position, but you watched all the auditions this year. Is that correct?
I have not watched the auditions this year.
Oh,
okay. I know it's crazy, but I have lots and lots of faculty who watch the auditions, and we've had, we've had successful online live virtual auditions. Mm-hmm. And we're coming up on our first in-person audition day this weekend. So
that's exciting.
We're excited. Yes. So I'm excited to see some.
So is it a divide and conquer situation where any member of the faculty could be seeing the student and pass them on to the next round, or does it go to your eyes, your final decision? What does that look like?
It eventually does get to me, but we do have a group of faculty. Our performance faculty specifically are sort of split up, and we have some teams that are looking at them. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, typically the decision's made before it gets to me, but I'll see them in the end.
And what is it that's going to make a student stick out to you or one of those faculty members that says this student belongs at Millikan?
I think a combination of things. I think that a sense of openness and a creative, collaborative spirit, which I know is kind of hard to come across, to give off in an audition situation sometimes, but we can tell, I think. And particularly at those wildcard videos, I feel like are really telling. I feel like I learn a lot about the student, about the artist that they might eventually grow into being from their introduction and from the wildcard videos.
That's interesting. I always tell my students that wildcard video is possibly the most important of the pre-screen videos, because lots of kids can sing, lots of kids can dance, but those wildcard videos show what's uniquely you about you.
Absolutely.
And I preach that all the time. My kids can probably sing along to this at this point, but I say you're auditioning for the role of student they can stand to be around for 4 years. So you need to show them.
Yes!
You need to show them who you are. And great, I'm so glad to hear you say that.
Absolutely.
We begin to wrap up, tell me something that you're looking forward to in this next semester.
I am looking forward to continuing to have successful shows in person, unmasked, we have testing protocols like crazy, but we are producing shows where the performers are unmasked and on stage in person with live audiences, and the audiences are masked. So I'm looking forward to producing Clue, Romeo and Juliet, and Violet.
Wow, that's quite a season. Great.
Mm-hmm.
If students have, or parents have, more questions about Millikan, what's the best way to get in touch?
Email is great. Phone is great as well. Going to our website, millikan.edu/theater, you'll find all sorts of information and links to our email addresses and phone numbers and what have you. Jen Moore is my assistant, and she handles everything. So you'll probably speak with Jen Moore.
Jen Moore, we'll remember that name. Angie, thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with us today. I've learned quite a bit about your program myself today. And we hope to have you, your face around here more often in the future.
Would love to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.